you. Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I just want to quickly go over. This is our third congregational gathering, as many of you well know. And we want to give you just a quick update of what has happened with all the information you gave us in those first two. This is very quick because this is not the focus of the day. We just want to let you know that we're taking your information very seriously and looking it over. These slides are just a brief overview. We're looking for general trends and areas of energy that's forming. So here in slide one, and I do appreciate, by the way, Seth Hicks has played a phenomenal role putting these slides together, and Reverend Dr. Raybuck, and thank you for all this good tech work. Okay, slide number one. Here in September, as you recall, we focused on our past, and we asked two key questions. Why did you come to Calvary, and why did you stay at Calvary? And what you see here is, why did you come to Calvary? And by far and away, let's go back to the come. Can we go back one? Can you go back, just back one? One slide up? Well, I'll tell you anyway. Okay, there you go. The number one motive that people gave for coming to Calvary was because of reasons related to family. Whether you came because your family came or you became because your family was already here, it was related to family. The second motive given, as you can see there, is a friend invited us, a friend invited me, a coworker, a neighbor, or Calvary was referred to us. We were moving to Lexington, and people in our community said, when you get there, go visit Calvary Baptist. Okay, so friends, invited, referred. We're moving quickly here, so we'll go ahead to the next slide, but you can see this, and we'll make all this more available later. Why did you stay at Calvary? By a large margin, you can see, people stay because of fellowship and friendships that we've developed. Fellowship and friendship. And then number two, Sunday school class. The second motive given, a place where fellowship and friendships are formed, where we learn and share together in small groups. Okay? So now we're going to move on to slide number three. At the second gathering in October, we focused on the present. And we all had yellow worksheets where we were asked to rank order 12 areas of ministries according to the amount of focus and attention we believe they should receive in the next 3 to 5 years. There were 241 sheets turned in, and the results of the top six are listed there on the slide. And you should just know, youth, preschool, children's, and college ministry were virtually tied, very tight right there. Okay? I'll let that sink in a quick second. Now, that was your quick second. Slide number four, 262 of us then completed blue sheets that asked us to indicate on a scale of 1 to 5 how well we lived out our values, where 5 was well and 1 was not so well. And we left the numbers there for you to see because we want to point out, as you can see, we rated ourselves above average on all of them. Okay? But I'd like to underscore this whole process is done from a spirit of strength. We are a good church that does a lot of good work. And this is an excellent, positive thing that we're undertaking on how we can make good things even better. All right? So there you go on that. So the next slide then, we were given the chance to fill out Kool-Aid sheets. Do you remember the Kool-Aid sheets where you actually wrote in all your comments? We had a purple one and a green one. And one was you could then focus on a ministry that you thought was going very well. And then the next color was to focus on a ministry that you thought could use some attention. We took all those comments, added them all up, put them in a thing called Wordle. The bigger words you see are the ones that got more comments. The smaller ones, not as many comments. So you can kind of see what's thrown out at you as to where the interest and energy was forming. All right, let's go to the next slide. This here then were the top three categories. 70% of us out of the 468 sheets we had for this, 70% addressed this in some fashion, these three areas. Just wanted you to know that. Let that sink in a minute. This is very quick. We'll find other opportunities to go through this carefully together. and I'll be happy to answer questions. But we just want to let you know we took your information very seriously. The ministers have incorporated many of these comments, reviewed them very carefully. We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Test 1, 2. There we go. Thank you, Ben. You reminded me of Garrison Keillor in the line about all the women are good-looking, all the children above average. That's us, yeah. One of the things that's true in a congregation when you're doing visioning work and it's not a crisis, it's a lot more fun. You know, sometimes I'll do this in the middle of some huge problem and it becomes very conflicted. And so one of the nice things is we are building on strength, and it's called the appreciative inquiry model. Some of professional educators will recognize that language. And what you do with that is you take your strengths and you build on them rather than try to find what's wrong and fix it. That tends to be one of those flattening out things where nothing is done very well. What AI says is let's take what's right and push that into the future and be really creative about it. So that's the exercise for today, and we're going to be here about 65 minutes. So we're going to go hard and fast, ask you to just be, you know, give it all you got for a while, and we'll let you go and go take a nap and all that kind of stuff afterwards. So I want to reconnect what we're doing with a bigger cycle of what we're doing. So just a quick piece. I found this the other day out of an AI a book that you may or may not be able to read, but we are in the process of dreaming and designing. We've gone through some defining work. Who is Calvary? What does it mean that you're on this property with your particular history? I know what it means to be First Baptist Dalton or First Baptist Nashville or, you know, Walnut Street in Louisville, but what does it mean to be Calvary Baptist here in Lexington? And then we talked a bit about what's the positive core of this congregation, and Ben's picked up on some of that. And now we're going to think about some kind of provocative propositions. This is not illegal. A provocative proposition is what I'm going to invite you to think about with regard to the future. So just tuck that away for a second. And what will happen is we'll take the information from today, pour it in a big pot with a big stirrer and all the other things we've gotten, and we're going to produce a wonderful meal for you in about 3 or 4 weeks to consume your future vision. And the team has scheduled a retreat in February to do a writing exercise, and so they'll be coming back to you with some very specific recommendations that come out of today's work. You know this text, right? It's on your table. Everybody should have a copy. If you'll pull one, put it in front of you. And if you can't read it, you can read the screen. This is a way of reminding ourselves that we do not come at this task in a vacuum. All right? The church didn't start with us, and it doesn't end with us. It did start in Acts 2, right? Pentecost, remember that? That was our birthday, the birth of the church. And so one of the things I think it's always helpful to do is to remind ourselves how what we're doing does or doesn't align with what the church was doing at its inception. So here's the quick exercise. Just take a moment. You've got a pen in your hand, right? Correct? I mean, and as you read over these 6 verses, would you circle the words, 3, 4, 5 words, that jump off the page at you as you read about the early church? Read through it, circle 3, 4, 5 words that just jump off the page in neon for you. All right, now tell the people at your table the words you circled. See how many of you got the same ones. It's kind of interesting. Let me ask you a question. See if you can find 5 or 6 kind of buckets that capture most of the words that came out of your list at your table. See if there's 5 or 6 common themes among the people at your table. And there may not be, but I'd be interested to see if you can pull that off. All right, let's talk about this together for a minute. Are there some common themes of the things that capture your attention around the practices of the early church. And so let's just ask, what are some things that you mentioned as we all sort of notice the same thing? What's something? Devoted. How many people had some version of devoted on their... What, now, why is that important? It's the beginning commitment. This isn't convenience. This isn't because I'm going to get a better job. It's the early church was devoted to who? To what? It tells you. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. So it was founded on commitment, devotion, something deeper than feeling. How many of you are married to someone and your whole marriage is based on feeling? Everybody? Really, really? You need to come help us do premarital counseling. Because they come in, oh, I'm just so in love. And we say, what happens when that goes away? Yeah, it doesn't pay very well. They don't want to hear it, and they're not listening. And so you have to talk about what happens when feelings go away, and you roll over and think, oh, my goodness. Or she thinks that about you guys. And you live at the level of commitment. How many of you go to work only on days you feel like it? I'm loving that. Where you get paid, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, how many of you only fix your kids' food when you feel... No, I mean, come on. We do things because we're committed. And the beginning of the church was not about, how's this make us feel? It was about devotion, a deeper commitment than just feeling. Yes, sir. Community was built. We don't know how much time, but if you read Acts, you get the feeling it was a lot of time. Now, they had jobs, but they also spent a lot of time together. What other words jumped out for you at your table that were sort of a common word? Some actions. Well, they didn't just sit around and talk. They did things. Their faith translated into action. They made a difference. What else? Together, prayer. Okay? Any other big words jump for you? They added to their number. This thing had a magnetic quality to it. Still does. People are looking for authentic community, deep meaning, connection, transcendence. You know, the transcendent piece and the horizontal piece of ministry, and it is magnetic when it's done well. Somebody over here. Another word. All. Why is that word important? All who believe were together, had all things in common. Oh, A. I love that word. The third line, the first word. We asked one of our professors, I wonder what the Greek word there is, and my guess is that it's one of those words that's used in specific places throughout the New Testament for when God shows up. You just go, oh my goodness, this is bigger than us. You ever had those moments at your church, in your life, where you think, there's something bigger than me going on here? It's not just coincidence. It's not just, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. This is awesome, awe-filled. Any other words jump off that page at you? Generous. You ever met a truly devoted follower of Jesus who was not generous? And isn't that one of the signs in the New Testament and in the life of this congregation? When God gets hold of your heart, one of the things he does is flip that orientation from me to you. And it's less about how much I can get and more about how much I can give. Well, these are practices, are they not? Generosity, community, worship, study, prayer, that need to guide our vision of the future. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do later today, when you've created some provocative propositions. I'm going to ask you, does it fit with the blueprint from the beginning, from Acts 2? And it's going to need to fit in there somewhere. And if it doesn't, we'll talk about, okay, what's missing and what would it take to fit with that? All right, hang on to those words and those thoughts. And I'm going to do a very risky thing. I'm going to ask you to play Rip Van Winkle with me. You know Rip Van Winkle, right? The story? What happened? Fell asleep. Sleeps a long time and wakes up and things are different. There you go. So, here's the exercise. Close your eyes. I told you, this is dangerous. We didn't serve strong enough coffee. Close your eyes. I want you to imagine that you do go to sleep today. And that when you wake up, it's not January of 2012, it's 2020. 8 years have gone by. And you wake up and you're here at Calvary Church. What do you hope you see? Who do you hope you see? What kind of things do you hope are happening? What kind of stories do you hope you hear? Walk around there for a few minutes, literally. The campus, sanctuary, the classes, this room, maybe the city. And now would you open your eyes? And would you tell the people at your table the kind of things you saw when you woke up in 2020? I just want to hear a quick sampling. Is there somebody at your table who had a really interesting vision that you'd like other people to hear? Just a quick version of it. I got a microphone here. But you're good. If you'll stand up.
A lot of people are in EB1 or EB2. Yeah. And there's not a central area, but to take the walkway between the buildings and just to make it an enclosed central location.
So part of what you see when you walk on campus in your dream.
And talk. So it's all
you see a physical shift in the buildings. Okay. What else do you see? What else? You had one of those too. Oh, okay. Something different. Here we go. Something you Rip Van Winkle saw when he woke up.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Several of us at this table, we vision a new college building that has a place where people can grow.
There you go.
They can stay in Lexington. They can raise their children. Mm-hmm. They can get married. They can work in a... All of them work in...
I'm in.
Get married. Well, whatever. Anyhow.
That's a good one, Louis.
It's a good one. And work in places like Mission Lexington that needs to be a vision that's at least as great as Mission Arlington that we have fashioned that out.
Right. Wonderful. So several parts of Rip Van Winkle's vision there. Physical, but more a community that you hear that essence of community. Does that fit, by the way, with Acts 2? Yeah. Together. All together in one place. Big deal. Here we go, right here. What was one from your table? Here comes your microphone.
Can you hear me now? Okay. We talked about having an organization within the organization that focused on our mission work and, mm-hmm. you know, promoting that, marketing it so that other people outside the church and that are in our community could see that and want to be a part of it. And then, you know, maybe they will come and join Calvary and be a part of our family, okay, too.
Great. You're tipping into an area where it's a very interesting thing. Congregations who are thinking about the next generation of missional work are spinning off 501c3 organizations, and they create what they call portals into the life of the church that used to be the portals were only worship and Sunday school. And then you added the rock, you know, and so you begin to think differently about how do you impact and penetrate the community. It's not always going to be on this property. It might be other places or other organizations. One or two more, and we're going to, yes, here we go. You got volunteer, Jane.
We were talking about ways to plug in new members to the church, mm-hmm, and we are missing a lot of, I guess, we use an example, calling the church to ask for a packet, and our new member dinners and our new member organizations, as things are on a high and then they kind of wane, we probably need to have a better way to connect new members to all the mission activities and the things of the church.
Assimilation is a constant struggle for congregations. The bigger you are, the bigger the issue is. Assimilation. How do you connect large church and small church? You know, they did two things in Acts 2. They went to the temple daily, and then they gathered in homes. And so I always like to talk about big church and little church. You know, my first church, somebody called up the office one day and said, what time does church start? I said, 9:45. And they kind of paused. They said, well, no, what time does church start? I said, well, church starts here at 9:45. Now, what time does preaching start? Oh, well, the worship service is at 11, but church starts at 9:45. Because you need these round tables to go with those long pews, don't you? Because if you don't balance those, you miss something. So it's very important when you're talking about assimilation to tie into that. One more.
Okay. The 8 years from now, the west wall of the sanctuary has been knocked out.
Blown out.
Sanctuary's turned sideways, getting people closer to the podium. It's got a glass ceiling, and the church is full of downtown people who live downtown, both poor and homeless, and educated professional people that have moved downtown over the past few years.
All right. Rip Van Winkle seeing some things. Now, we're not putting these up for vote. It's just I want to stir your imagination. Now, I see the hands, but hang on, because this is all appetizer. Let's get to the main event. Here's the main event. Provocative proposals, and you'll see a couple of summary sheets like this on your table if you need to follow that instead of the screen. Provocative proposals are a tool for imagining the future in a little more developed way than Rip Van Winkle. Feel free to tear those apart if you'd like for people to see. A provocative proposal is, first of all, stated in the affirmative as if it were already happening. So I'm going to ask you individually to take a blank piece of paper. Everybody should have one of these. Blank. And I'm going to ask you to write a provocative proposal. Now, before you get to writing, here, let me explain what they are. They're stated as though they are already happening. Calvary Baptist Church has the largest ministry in the community to Hispanic people. Okay, we're talking about 2020. But we're stating it as though we were already true. So it's stated in the affirmative. Or if I were saying something about something, say it this April, Murray State University is the national champions of NCAA college basketball. They finished an undefeated season. Now, it's a vision and a dream. Dream on, baby. That's right. You know, it could happen. It can only happen for one team right now in the whole country. They did they win last night? Yes, sir. 19-20-0. So a provocative proposal states it as though it were already true. Now, they point to a real desired possibility. So, what was your Rip Van Winkle, the
building.
The building. Okay, so a provocative proposal about that building was the Connector Building at Calvary Baptist Church serves as a physical location for spiritual reality. We are a connected church in ways we've never been connected before. So you're saying it as though it were already true. And it's a real and desired possibility. It's based on the data. It's based on reality. These people are in our community, or this is a need in your church, or it's based on something that you truly value. What you really look for in these proposals is breaking out of the ordinary and out of the box. It's something that will only happen if we learn to do some things differently. So this isn't, we're starting a new Sunday school class for 20-something-year-olds. That's not very provocative, is it? The other piece about provocative is it only happens if God intervenes. Okay, this is not something we can do because we're so smart and savvy and sharp. And we are smart, savvy, and sharp. But these are proposals that are bigger than us. You got another whole page. They focus on an area of the church's life and ministry and mission that means something to you today. So you're building on your strengths forward. You know, so you probably won't say, Calvary Baptist Church has the largest ministry to Slovakian people in Kentucky. Well, they're not here, and are they? I hope. And that's not really something that's relevant to you. You want to think about the best of what has been and push it forward into what might be. How many of you are in that group that Ben talked about who said, I came to this church because of friends and family and relationships? How many people? Okay, you're part of that group. It's a key part of this church. What does that look like in 2020? What if you were extremely deliberate about pulling people into this fellowship, knowing that you have something to offer them, and not just hoping it happens, kind of this whole assimilation question? What if you took that really seriously? What if your provocative proposal was something like, Calvary Baptist Church is the warmest and friendliest church people have ever experienced? Wow. Is that provocative? Is it big? Can you do it by yourself? Probably not. Because you're not that good. You're not that friendly. I've been around you. You're pretty friendly. But you're normal. You got your life. You're busy. You got kids. You got classes. You don't have time. This is only going to happen if God intervenes and leads you to practice radical hospitality, biblical hospitality. So that's provocative. Would you like to be known as the warmest, friendliest church people have ever experienced? Really? It's going to take some work. It might take some building. It might take some different way. So that becomes then a North Star that we work back from. You see how this works. So construct your proposition of what is possible as if it were already true. Now remember what you've heard from your community leaders, from the UK folks, what you've learned about yourself in our first two sessions. And as you think about what is a legitimate proposal based on our story and on the needs around us, both out those windows and in this room, and what do I hear God saying to me? And does it fit with Acts 2? Try your hand at writing just a one or two sentence provocative proposal. And they can be, I'm going to give you some samples. Would you like to see those first? That might help. There you go. Here's one. Here's a very simple one. From a church in New Zealand, actually. Very simple statement about its worship services. It's recognized for its breadth and depth of its worship, contemporary sights and sounds in a historic setting. it's a little tame for me, but it probably was very provocative for what's probably an Anglican church in New Zealand. Here's another one. This is a congregation who decided to take seriously the discipleship and spiritual growth of their children and youth in a way that they hadn't done before, based on their history and what they sensed was the need in their community. And so it radically changed the way they did all of that programming, all the way through young adulthood. Whoops. Let's don't do that. Here's one about adults. Actually, this is from a church that I pastored, and we stopped after the first sentence. Is it provocative? Can we do that in our own power? Can you name the Ten Commandments? Oh, come on. Stand and deliver. How about the first four books of the New Testament? Yeah, most of you could do that, but I'd be surprised. Yeah, there we go. So, and we're not just talking about rote memory of biblical stuff. We're saying, do you understand the faith? Do you know the great theological themes of Scripture? Can you help me in a one-sentence definition of grace? There you go. So, this was a pretty provocative proposal, and it became a very significant organizing truth for us for 5 years. It changed the way we did Sunday school, Wednesday night, Monday afternoon Bible studies, Tuesday morning. We started doing things that we had never thought about before. Here's a longer one. It can be very lengthy. This is about staff and clergy from a church, a Methodist church. So they can be short and succinct. They can be lengthy. But this is our next step in the process. What I want you to do today is practice. Play with this. Individually first, and then we'll do collectively around your table. So let's go back to the instructions. Write your own provocative proposal as though it were already true about a specific part of the vision that you sense is needed based on your history and the setting and the needs and the data, and just try it and see. Everybody's got a sheet of paper, right, in front of you? Yes, sir. Questions?
Doing Bible study on Thursday. No, I talk a lot, and I do.
Okay, I'm going to cut you real short because I got a plane, and we're going to do this real quick.
Every one of us is an ambassador. No question about it. And I'll just give you one illustration. I go to the gym maybe three times a week, and I left my I lock my keys up in the truck. And as I sat there trying to figure out how I was going to get home to get another set of keys, and some of the fellows that I would work with, whatever, didn't offer up. Now, this sounds racial just a little bit, but I'm going to make it that way. A young white lady named Christy with a two-year-old son said, "Sam, I'll take you home. Everything you do, I do, has an effect on somebody."
Amen.
Do that, every one of us.
Good word.
Do something good to everybody you meet.
Thank you, Sam. Well said. Take that spirit and think about a provocative proposal that would just really be a stretch for you as a church, but address a real need or a real area of concern that you have. Take about a minute, jot it down, and then share it with the people at your table. All right, has everyone at your table had a chance to talk? Everybody? Okay, just hit pause for a minute. Time out. Sorry. So everybody's had a chance to kind of throw out an idea. What I'd like you to do next is take one of those ideas with a bigger sheet, and let's just do an exercise. Take it. What's one from your table that's very interesting? Just yeah. What was his? Okay. Provocative proposal, all about a green church. Get that right as you finish. So take one from your table on the big sheet, and think about if that's the 2020 vision, what you just said, Glenn, what would it take to get there? And back away from it incrementally, that's the big kind of funnel. If you narrow it down back to 2012, how do we get there? What are the practical steps to get there? And as a group, think together, what would it take to get from where we are today to your idea or your idea? And help us begin thinking about steps and what we call SMART goals. What are some goals along the way? SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely, something like that, measurable. What are some goals? So if that were the one we're going to work on, we'd be thinking about in the fall of 2012, we're going to do an energy audit. You know, we're going to figure out how much energy we waste. How green are we? What does this do when you throw it in the trash? Where does it go? It stays for about 78 years. Does that bother you at all? If it does, what might we do differently? Just real simple stuff. And so then you begin to think, well, okay, how do we move toward that goal? Now, that's just one idea. There's another idea at your table, another idea at your table. Let's have every table take one, and on the bigger sheet, put the provocative proposal at the top and begin to think about specific steps of how we get to that from here. Biblical literacy. You can imagine what we put on there. We began to review how we did Sunday school and what we did on Wednesdays and all that sort of thing. Okay, so just pick one at random from your table, one you can all agree that we're going to practice on, and let's just see what happens with that. Okay, let me have just a quick timeout. If you'll just pause, I'll come back and you pick back up. How's this working? Okay, I see things being written. This is good. Anybody got one they want to let us look at or hear about as a sample? Here's a microphone. I got this. I need more specifics. I'm gonna tell you some very specific. All right, here's a provocative proposal. The congregation of CBC reflects the diversity of its downtown community so that members are identified as Christians and not according to race, creed, or nationality. Goals: initiate church bus pickup, drop-off points for members, visitors, students for all services, expand Wednesday night services for adults, on down the line. Keep going down. So you want to be as specific as you can. So when you say missions, what's the provocative proposal? What's the statement about the future written as though it were already true? So you might say, and I don't know what you all have in mind, but is Central Baptist is a mission-sending community where people turn to us first for help, part of the mission. What did I say? Central. Is there a central? My bad. I did that at my church. I'd go, hey, First Baptist Waynesboro, Dalton. They loved it. Yeah, just like you love it. So you want to be very specific, spell it out, take about two more minutes, and work on yours some more. Dig deeper. Yes, sir. Here's one. Let me give you one more. Calvary Baptist is known as a soul-winning church. We teach members the key verses in the Bible. We train members in sharing the plan of salvation. We plan programs for reaching the lost. We rely only on the Holy Spirit to give you what to say. There are all kinds of wonderful ways you can build in a systematic training, gift-based model of outreach. There's a wonderful program called Just Walk Across the Room, where Bill Hybels teaches people how to engage non-Christians or pre-Christians in conversations that deliberately lead them deeper. It's wonderful. He tells about the 14-year witnessing relationship he had with a man who was a sailing buddy. It took him 7 years to ever have a serious conversation about faith. but it took that long to cultivate the relationship. Do we do that? Or do we just leave that up to the clergy or just kind of hope people show up and figure it out? What if we took that really seriously and really developed a model for us that said we're going to take this with integrity and authenticity and make this a part of who we are? Take about 2 or 3 more minutes, do a little more fleshing out of it, and then we're going to tell you what to do with those sheets. Okay. Again, if I could just get you to hit pause for a second. You're doing great work, and actually, the longer you work at it, sometimes the longer you go, the more you peel it down, you get to the really good stuff. By the way, if you, in the process of doing this, have come up with another provocative proposal or idea, is there another piece of paper on your table? Just grab another piece, turn one of these over, and write it down. What we need you to do on your original individual provocative ideas, if you will, sign those so that if we pick them up and go, boy, that's a great idea, but wonder what she meant by this, we can ask you. Now, if you don't want to sign it, you don't have to. No, I don't. Yeah, we'll find you. We'll come after you. Okay, so sign them. And on your bigger sheet, let me see this for a second. On this one, if you just, whoever subscribed, if you would put your name on there. It's going to be helpful to us. We can't read your writing. So here's what we're going to do today. We're almost done. We want to honor our time commitment. This is the beginning of a conversation, a season of conversation about what we call sanctified imaginations. You see that? The 5th, 6th bullet down? This is called sanctified imaginations. Let God take your imagination and run with it. And this has just been a 50-minute exercise, but it's the beginning of a season of this. And so we're going to collect what you've done, and we're going to invite you to do this. Do some more of it. Jot them down. Pass them. Team members, raise your hand. These are your postal service providers. They'll come get them. You hand them to them. In about 3 weeks, they're going to gather all this material together and try to synthesize these provocative proposals into some very specific things to bring back to you. We can't do them all, but we can do some of them. We're going to try to think about how they fit together. What are the common themes? Do they fit with Acts 2? Do they fit with your DNA? Do they meet a need in Lexington and Fayette County? So don't collect them right now. I'm just going to let you leave them on your table. And let me just hang on just a second, because we're about to let you go. If you have some unfinished business on your paper, stay and write. Don't leave. We need you to finish what you were writing. But let this also be an invitation for you to go home and begin to think and dream. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my best ideas come about 2 days after I have the conversation. You know, I wish I'd said so-and-so. Wish I'd told her. Wish I'd said this to that guy. So that's what we're hoping happens. All right, questions for me or the team? Next step is for them to gather this and what you're going to give them out from here. Massage it, blend it with what you've already given them, and they're going to bring you something this spring, hopefully in the very near future, that you're going to go, wow, wow, this is provocative. It's God-sized. These are initiatives that will challenge us and guide us, and they're the kind of vision we can live into. And they fit us. You know, they fit us. They fit a need, and they fit us, and they fit our sense of being God's people on a mission, not God's people on a picnic. Big difference. You all have been great. Thank you for enduring the chaos of these events. It's important that we don't just send 12 people off to do this without your input. We call it radically congregational, ground up. Your input matters. And so thank you for giving this to your leadership team. Any questions or thoughts? Bob, you want to say anything?
Just to echo what Bill said, thank you not only for your attendance and participation today, but from the very start of this back in August, you've been incredible. To have this many people, no kidding, on a Sunday afternoon, this pretty a day in January, which we don't have, and you've given time to this because you believe in the future of the church, you are to be commended. So very, very proud of you. We're thankful to Bill Wilson and for our Faith Facilitators team. That retreat, and you can be praying for us, is February 11th. And it's at Georgetown College. We'll be meeting the whole day doing that and synthesizing all of this material that you have given to us, and we will be reporting back to you. So many thanks. I thank everybody who's made today possible logistically, prayerfully, the whole bit. Appreciate it very much. Bill, final word?
Well, so that gives you a deadline. We need to have anything else from you by the 11th so we can take it on the retreat and use that as raw material for that.
Okay, I'm going to close with a prayer, but if you're not finished writing, by all means, please stay. Do not take those sheets and throw them away. Leave them on the table. We need those.
Yep.
That's why we're here, okay? Let's pray for just a moment. Gracious God, thank you that in your creation of us, you've created us with the capacity and the ability and the freedom to dream. Help us to dream big, to dream well. And we ask, O God, that our dreams would correspond with your kingdom dreaming, which you have in store for this church. Thank you for Bill Wilson. Continue to bless his ministry. Would you please be with our church as we continue to engage in this process of being the congregation you're calling us to be, not just week to week and day to day, but in the next 3 to 5 years and on into the future. We entrust one another now to your care, O God, praying in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.